Imagine signing a lease for a premium commercial storefront that, won't even have walls, a roof, or a parking lot for another 2 or 3 years.
Right, you're essentially just committing to a patch of dirt.
Exactly. And on the surface, committing millions of dollars to a patch of dirt sounds like an incredibly risky business decision. But if you are looking at the Dallas-Fort Worth retail market today, well, that is not a risk. That is just the cost of entry.
Yeah, it really is.
So, welcome to our deep dive into the source material. This analysis is brought to you by Eureka Business Group, the premier authority and commercial real estate broker in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, specializing in retail.
Glad to be here for this one.
Yeah, our mission today is to synthesize over 50 late August 2026 commercial real estate news stories. We're going to extract the absolute most actionable intelligence for active 1031 exchangers and private buyers, specifically zeroing in on DFW and the broader Texas retail landscape.
And there is a lot to cover.
There really is. And looking through this massive stack of reporting, I think the absolute biggest surprise is the divergence. You read the broader headlines, and the commercial real estate narrative seems pretty uniform.
Right, like downtown office skyscrapers are empty, multifamily struggling with oversupply.
Exactly. The assumption is just blanket devastation across the industry, yet retail has completely decoupled from that narrative. I mean, it is undeniably thriving.
It is. The divergence is really what makes this current cycle so fascinating to analyze. If we look at the baseline data provided by Colliers and CoStar, the numbers just starkly contradict that old retail apocalypse narrative we heard for the last decade.
Yeah, that narrative is pretty much dead.
Right. National retail vacancy is holding incredibly steady at just 4.4% as of the second quarter of 2026.
Wow, so that is just scraping the bottom of historic lows.
It really is. But the real story isn't just that the spaces are occupied. CoStar's analytics demonstrate that physical retail stores are currently more productive at driving sales per square foot than ever before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We are looking at a supreme efficiency in how these footprints are being utilized to generate revenue. The space itself has essentially become a high-performance engine for these brands.
Okay, let's actually unpack the mechanics of that high-performance engine. Because, a tight market is one thing, but the actual transactional velocity we are seeing requires capital.
Absolutely.
And the data points to a massive return of the lenders. The Mortgage Bankers Association just released figures showing that retail property mortgage originations surged an incredible 148% year-over-year in the first quarter of 2026.
That is a staggering number.
It really is. It kind of reminds me of a legacy rock band that everyone assumed retired a decade ago because streaming completely destroyed record sales. But they didn't retire. They quietly went into the studio, figured out a brand new distribution model focused entirely on the live experience, and then dropped a massive stadium tour that just sold out in seconds.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, the capital markets are acting like super fans again, rushing to fund this new model. But looking at that 148% jump in loan originations, I do have to wonder about the mechanics of this debt.
Right, because of the environment we're in.
Exactly. Given that we are still in a high interest rate environment, how does a buyer avoid the trap of over-leveraging just because the lenders are suddenly willing to write checks again?
Well, the mechanism driving that 148% surge really comes down to a fundamental supply and demand imbalance that lenders simply cannot ignore.
Okay.
Investor competition is ramping up precisely because retail construction pipelines are effectively dry. We are seeing historic lows in new supply being delivered.
So they aren't building any new competition.
Exactly. When lenders look at an asset class with incredibly low vacancy, high tenant productivity, and virtually zero new competition being built across the street, they see safety. So they are aggressively deploying capital into that safety.
But there is still a risk, right?
Oh, for sure. The trap of over-leveraging is a very real threat right now because of the macroeconomic backdrop. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, or the PCE, is currently sitting at 3.7%.
Which is pretty stubborn.
It is the definition of sticky inflation. And because that inflation is not cooling rapidly, treasury yields remain highly volatile.
Right.
So the danger for a buyer right now is assuming a rapid drop in interest rates and, underwriting a deal based on refinancing at a much lower cost of capital in 12 months.
Which might not happen.
Exactly. Buyers need to aggressively rebid their debt and leverage this new lender appetite, but they must stress test their models, assuming the cost of capital remains elevated for the foreseeable future.
Okay, that makes sense. And because capital naturally flows toward the path of least resistance and maximum safety, it makes sense that this liquidity is pointing straight into the Sun Belt.
Oh, absolutely.
And specifically, right into Eureka Business Group's backyard here in Texas. I mean, the absorption data is just staggering. DFW led all United States metros in net retail absorption in the first half of 2026.
It's really the epicenter of the growth.
It is. The reporting highlights some massive developments that illustrate this. Up in Frisco, you have the $2 billion Fields West development. It is already 75% pre-leased with premium brands like Lululemon and Tecovas, and it isn't even slated to open until 2027 or 2028.
Which goes back to signing leases for dirt.
Right. You also have Walmart closing on 41 acres in Salina for a massive second store, which represents a minimum $25 million investment. And then down in the urban core of Dallas, a private buyer operating under the entity 9010 secured a high-profile retail portfolio on Lower Greenville.
Yeah, the capital is moving fast.
So looking specifically at that Frisco data, having 44 leases signed years before the doors even open, is that purely a FOMO effect? I mean, are retailers just terrified of missing out on space because they know the construction pipeline is dead?
You know, it looks like panic from the outside. But structurally, it is highly calculated strategic positioning driven by demographic math.
Okay, how so?
Well, retailers have highly sophisticated spatial analytics. They know exactly how many thousands of rooftops are being added to Collin County every single month.
So they're just following the population density.
Exactly. Because the pipeline for prime Class A retail space in these high growth corridors is so incredibly thin, brands know that if they do not lock down a footprint today, they will be entirely locked out of that demographic capture for the next 5 to 10 years.
Wow.
So the FOMO is really secondary to the mathematical reality of population density.
Yeah.
And that ties directly into the mechanism of the Walmart transaction in Salina.
Right, the 41-acre site.
Yeah. When a massive anchor like Walmart commits $25 million to purchase 41 acres, they are not just building a store. They are fundamentally altering the gravitational pull of that entire intersection.
Can you explain how that gravity actually works for the surrounding real estate? Because, you know, a massive anchor tenant obviously changes the traffic patterns, but how does it impact the actual investment math for other developers in that immediate vicinity?
Well, it acts as an instant de-risking mechanism. Walmart's site selection algorithms are legendary for their accuracy. So when they plant a flag, they are guaranteeing thousands of daily vehicle trips to that specific corner.
So they basically do the homework for everyone else.
Exactly. For a private developer looking to build a smaller strip center or a net lease pad site on the adjacent dirt, Walmart has just solved their biggest underwriting problem, which is foot traffic.
Right, and lenders love that.
Oh, lenders will readily finance the complementary retail development because the anchor has validated the market. This is exactly the signaling mechanism Eureka Business Group advises its clients to monitor.
Because once the anchor is in, the rest follows.
Yeah. When the heavyweights drop their anchor, the smart private capital immediately follows to acquire and develop the inline space, knowing the anchor will generate the necessary consumer gravity.
Okay, so the developers are building the inline space around these anchors and the capital is flowing to acquire it, but the critical question is, who is actually renting it?
Right, that's the big question.
We spent the entire last decade being told that Amazon and e-commerce logistics were going to consume every physical transaction. But the tenant mix in these sources points to a massive surge in what is being labeled the vanity economy.
Yes, the vanity economy is a huge driver right now.
We are seeing incredible absorption driven by health, beauty, fitness, and wellness concepts. Like Club Pilates alone is planning 200 openings this year.
It's massive growth.
And food and beverage concepts are also dominating the landscape. A company called Wonder is spending $2.5 billion scaling up food halls, heavily targeting the Texas suburbs. Down in Houston, Handy's Duzo is converting a former fast food Jack in the Box into a high-end Japanese restaurant.
Which is a brilliant reuse of space.
It is. I look at this specific tenant mix, and the mechanism here seems to be an anti-Amazon moat. You simply cannot get a sauna treatment, a professional haircut, or a hot, authentic bowl of ramen delivered to your living room via Prime shipping.
That is exactly it. The anti-Amazon moat is the exact defining characteristic of modern retail resilience.
Mm.
The digital world has not destroyed physical retail. It has simply forced it to evolve by increasing the premium on in-person experiences.
Right.
The JLL survey data in our briefing breaks down the psychology behind this perfectly. Younger consumers are experiencing profound digital fatigue.
Oh, for sure.
They are actively pushing back on algorithmic screens that dictate what they should buy. Instead, they are demanding what the report categorizes as discovery-oriented physical stores.
They want to actually be out in the world.
Yeah, they want the tactile social experience of shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Experiential uses, the fitness classes, the high-end dining, the wellness clinics, these are the core drivers commanding rent premiums today.
Which explains the jack-in-the-box conversion.
Exactly. That explains the mechanism behind transforming a commodity fast food drive-through into a sit-down Japanese restaurant. The physical infrastructure of that site, you know, the parking ratios, the high visibility corner access, the ingress and egress, it has incredible residual utility for an experiential operator.
So e-commerce actually helped clarify what physical retail is best at.
That's a great way to put it. E-commerce effectively filtered out the commodity goods that can be shipped in a cardboard box, leaving physical real estate completely open to elevate and scale these high-margin experiential concepts.
Now, finding those experiential tenants and identifying the right high-growth Texas corridors is crucial, but the actual execution of acquiring these properties is where the market mechanics are currently tripping up a lot of private buyers.
Yes, especially with 1031 exchanges.
Exactly. Particularly those under the strict deadlines of a 1031 exchange. According to the updates on the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, or OBBBA, 1031 exchanges were kept fully intact with no dollar cap.
Right, which was a huge relief for the industry.
Huge. But that means the tax law isn't the hurdle. The real constraint is that ticking 45-day identification clock. And the median single-tenant net lease cap rate is sitting at 6.6%. But there is a massive warning story embedded in the sources right now regarding the safety of these net lease properties.
Sell it and go situation.
Yes. Sell and Go recently filed for bankruptcy, which forced the assignment of 65 of their leases to Dutch Bros for around $105 million.
It was a major shakeup.
I look at the scenario and I really have to question the assumed bulletproof nature of these triple net or NNN properties. I mean, a buyer with $5 million in equity rolling over from a sale watches that 45-day tax penalty clock ticking down. They panic, they look at a brand new 15-year corporate lease from a major brand, and they view it as a bond.
They think it's ultimate safety.
Right. But if they blindly acquire that lease just for the corporate brand, aren't they ignoring the massive liability if that physical drive-through box is too specialized to ever be re-rented to anyone else?
Oh, absolutely. The psychology of the 45-day window absolutely drives investors to conflate two very different things, which are real estate risk and credit risk.
They aren't the same thing.
Not at all. The Salad and Go bankruptcy proves definitively that those two risks are entirely separate. It is incredibly easy to be seduced by a shiny corporate guarantee on a 15-year lease when you are desperate to shield your capital from taxes.
Right. You just want to park the money.
But corporate operators, even fast-growing, seemingly invincible ones, can and do fail. When they vanish, the lease document is worthless. The physical box they leave behind is your actual investment.
So you're left holding the bag.
Literally holding the box. Investors must underwrite the residual value of the dirt and the structure. The critical question isn't just about the current tenant's balance sheet. It's asking, what is this specific corner worth, and exactly how many dollars will it cost to modify this highly specialized drive-through if I need to replace the tenant tomorrow?
And what actually makes a building too specialized? Because, you know, a drive-through seems like a pretty standard piece of real estate on the surface.
It comes down to the physical footprint and the functional utility.
Mm.
If a building is purpose-built with dual-lane drive-throughs, absolutely no indoor seating, extremely minimal square footage, and highly specific traffic flow patterns designed solely for passing salads through a window, well, you cannot easily adapt that for a traditional quick-service restaurant or a standard coffee operator.
Because the layout is just entirely wrong.
Exactly. The retrofitting costs are astronomical. In those cases, you are taking on massive real estate risk, regardless of how strong the initial lease document appears.
Wow.
The fact that Dutch Bros absorbed those 65 Salad and Go leases is an absolute best-case scenario for those property owners. But that assignment only happened because the underlying real estate locations, like the actual dirt and the traffic counts, were strategically valuable enough for Dutch Bros to justify the cost of retrofitting the specialized boxes to fit their own operational needs.
So we have painted a very robust picture of the capital returning, the strategic leasing, and the value of experiential retail. But The entire ecosystem relies on the consumer actually walking through the doors and swiping a credit card.
Yes, it all comes down to the consumer.
And the macro consumer data in our sources is flashing a very distinct bright yellow warning light. The University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index fell 7.6% down to a reading of 51-point error, and expectations for the future sank drastically.
It's a significant drop.
It is. And the reporting emphasizes that this drop in consumer sentiment is happening uniformly across the political spectrum.
Right. The sources were very clear on that. It's totally nonpartisan.
Exactly. It is a broad-based economic anxiety impacting the everyday shopper, no matter who they vote for. The Conference Board data echoes this exact same pullback. And because of this strain, we are seeing a massive performance divergence.
And the types of retailers that are succeeding.
Yeah. Discretionary brands, you know, the stores selling items you might want but do not strictly need to survive, like Dick's Sporting Goods and Kohl's, they are actively lowering their financial outlooks.
Oh, the value sector is doing the opposite.
Right. The value retail sector is booming. Dollar Tree visits are up 4.8%, beating Dollar General's 1.9% growth. And Burlington is aggressively opening 135 new stores, funding their price cuts and footprint expansions with tariff refunds.
It's a huge shift in spending habits.
So if I am a landlord looking at this massive divergence, what is the mechanical response? Do property owners need to actively stress test their discretionary tenants right now and potentially swap them out for necessity and value concepts?
Proactive stress testing is absolutely essential right now.
Right.
You cannot simply look at top-line retail sales in your center and assume your tenant mix is healthy.
Because top-line numbers can be misleading.
Exactly. The Circana data in our briefing highlights the underlying mechanics of what is happening at the register. Current retail sales growth is being driven almost entirely by price inflation, not by an increase in unit volume.
So consumers are spending more total dollars, but they're physically carrying fewer items out of the store.
Exactly. The inflation masks the volume decline. Landlords evaluating a tenant's health shouldn't just look at aggregate sales numbers.
Right.
Because a tenant might be hitting their percentage rent breakpoint purely because they raised prices by 15%, while their actual daily transaction counts and foot traffic are shrinking rapidly.
And foot traffic is the lifeblood of a retail center.
Yeah, when foot traffic declines, the cross-shopping benefit to the rest of the center evaporates. To survive a prolonged consumer squeeze, property owners must dig into the transaction metrics.
So they need to look at the actual register receipts, basically.
Right. They need to ensure their rent rolls are heavily weighted toward necessity, value, and health-based services. Mm. Those are the segments with built-in resilience when household budgets tighten.
Because people still need groceries and haircuts.
Exactly. Consumers will delay buying a new set of golf clubs, but they will not stop buying groceries, seeking medical care, or utilizing their vanity economy services.
That brings the entire picture into focus for the Eureka Business Group client navigating this market right now. The actionable intelligence from this data stack is clear. First, focus on the high-growth Texas corridors like DFW, where the population absorption naturally de-risks the long-term investment.
Definitely.
Second, you have to hunt for flexible real estate that possesses strong second-generation reuse value. Never just buy a highly specialized single-use box simply because it has a shiny corporate logo attached to it under a 1031 deadline.
Which is such an easy trap to fall into.
Right. And most importantly, do not assume a corporate lease guarantees your safety if the underlying consumer base is faltering due to inflation. You must underrate the intrinsic value of the dirt, the structure, and the local transaction volume, not just the lease document itself.
The fundamentals of the real estate will always outlast the signature on the lease.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as we conclude this analysis, I want to leave the listener with a final thought to consider. Looking just over the horizon of this current cycle.
Oh, sure. What's that?
Well, we established today that the ultimate savior of physical retail is the in-person experience, right? The vanity economy and discovery-oriented shopping serve as this unbreachable moat against traditional cardboard box e-commerce.
Right, the anti-Amazon moat.
Exactly. But what happens to these massive, highly amenitized lifestyle centers in 5 to 10 years? What happens to the real estate when augmented and virtual reality technology become sophisticated enough to perfectly replicate the social, tactile, and discovery phases of shopping, but from the comfort of our own living rooms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if the digital world eventually manages to digitize the experience the exact same way it digitized merchandise, will physical retail have to completely reinvent its core purpose yet again?
That is a staggering proposition to consider. Just when the physical market figured out how to beat the e-commerce algorithm by monetizing the live experience, the technology might evolve to simulate the experience itself.
The environment never stops shifting.
It really doesn't. Well, that concludes our deep dive into the source material. Brought to you by Eureka Business Group, your premier authority in Dallas-Fort Worth commercial retail real estate. Keep your eyes on the data, and we will see you next time.